This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's that?
A White House official asked the FBI to pour cold water on published stories that Trump campaign advisors were in touch with Russian government officials during the election. CNN was first to report the story that the FBI refused to bow to that pressure. The network and the Associated Press now report it was Reince Priebus who made the request of Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, but that request came after the Bureau told the administration it believed the New York Times report describing those contacts were not accurate. And Joe, I understand you have some new reporting on
that. Yeah, so let's build on that a little bit. Two sources, one at the White House and one in the intel community, tell us at Morning Joe that while over at the White House on other business, Deputy Director McCabe asked Reince Priebus if he could set aside 5 minutes at the end of the meeting to discuss another topic. Priebus said yes, and after the meeting, McCabe took him to the side and said that the New York Times reports on contacts with Russians was overblown and not supported by any evidence that the FBI had. Priebus then asked McCabe in the meeting if they could clear it up and get the information out. McCabe said to think about it and get back and call him. Later that afternoon, McCabe called Priebus and said even though it was bad information, the FBI didn't want to go into the record because they didn't want to get into the business. I think this is very wise of calling balls and strikes on reporting. FBI Director James Comey had a follow-up call with Priebus. The two had a similar discussion. Priebus then asked if it would be accurate for him to cite senior FBI sources who were knocking down the story. Comey said yes, and that is, of course, Gaddy, when Reince went on the shows over the weekend. We saw him on, I think it was Fox News Sunday, saying that the information was bogus, or however he said it in his Wisconsin accent. So
Well, you know, to me, how do you read this? I mean, they're in a meeting, and McCabe, Deputy Director McCabe, talks after the meeting to Reince Priebus and says, it's been overblown. Okay. Well, can we clear that up, please? Because that's out there, and they're trying to make something, and they're there. Okay. So let's just get beyond. We'll think about it. We'll think about it. I mean, what is there to think about? And I think that's an academic question that anybody would ask in a similar situation, right? If there was some rumors and some bad stuff out there, and you know, and you're talking to the channel of that source, and they say, hey, you know, it's no big deal. It's, you know, we can't really, you know, prove anything. Well, can you let people know? You know, we don't want to get in a political deal. But of course, you have to understand, that response in light of James Comey and what he did with Hillary Clinton, right? Didn't want to get in a political deal, but got in a political deal. So now they're overreacting. So even James Comey gets on the phone later on and talks to Reince Priebus, and Reince Priebus does his job. Says, hey, okay, seems like you guys are all talking from the same hymn book here. You say really, really isn't there any a whole bunch of there. And so maybe we need to, let it go. Or can I at least say FBI sources are knocking down the story? And, of course, Comey says, yeah, you can say that. Well, so then, you know, Reince Priebus takes that information and says what he said on the Sunday shows. And it's like, what, like somebody wants to throw a penalty flag? I mean, if the information is bogus and it's bad and it's unsubstantiated, but meanwhile, you know, Democratic leadership is running around, oh, they got this stuff going on, and, you know, they're playing Parcheesi with the Russians and all. I mean, come on. You know, this thing's on and on, and we're making Vladimir Putin into more than he is. And should be. Do we need to keep an eye on him? Definitely. But we don't need to make him more than he is and then miss something along the way because we think he's this incredible boogeyman that's done everything, that he found a way to get Donald Trump elected. Like somebody has that power here in this country to be able to do that. I mean, in the past, you could say there's a lot of influence peddling. And the money merchants and all that have been able to do that. But this time, under Donald Trump, He's not beholden. He didn't need their money. Hillary did, and she still didn't do it, right? This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 5 after the top of the hour.
Honey, what is that in your CPAP mask?
Oh, that's just my mold collection.
Ew, gross! And what is that?
What, that bacteria colony right there?
Yeah, cool, huh?
Okay, CPAP users, admit it. You're not always as careful about cleaning your system as you should be. Unfortunately, a dirty mask and hose can make you sick. Respiratory infections, allergy attacks, and more. But now there's an easy way to protect yourself. SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of CPAP germs in minutes. For a limited time, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-944-1065. SoClean is hands-free. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP comes out clean and fresh in minutes. Don't let germs wreak havoc on your health. Call in the next 10 minutes for your risk-free trial. 1-800-944-1065. That's 1-800-944-1065.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, welcome back, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. As always, good to have you along with us as we continue to address those matters, those issues, the news of the day, cultural issues, things that are most important, things that people are talking about. And we do so with the experts to bring you the facts, to bring you the things that, that you can count on, that have veracity as we continue to unfold and pursue the truth, no matter where it would lead us. And this is a thing we appreciate about being independent, is that we have that latitude. I mean, it's amazing how many people are out there that are, somewhat controlled, and they're bridled and not able to pursue the truth to the lengths that we are. And so we count it a privilege and a fortunate position to be in. And we thank you that you join with us in the good fight. Jennifer Breeden is with us. She's a legal analyst and human rights attorney concentrating on religious extreme ideology and domestic and international law with the Clarion Project. Prior to joining the Clarion Project, Jennifer worked for the Washington, D.C. based nonprofit International Christian Concern as the regional manager for the Middle East. Jennifer Breeden, always good to have you with us. How are you doing?
It's great to be on, Bill. I'm doing well. How are you?
Hey, doing terrific. I wanted to give you an opportunity, as a legal analyst, considering this temporary ban that our president has issued and now is being challenged in the Ninth Circuit, which a lot of pundits, I don't know if they're just resigning themselves, just saying, well, the Ninth Circuit's going to do what the Ninth Circuit does, so it's a fait accompli that it will end up in the Supreme Court. Why is it, first of all, let me ask you as a legal analyst, why is it that the United States, I would say, needs this temporary ban?
Well, I think it needs this temporary ban, honestly, just because of the Obama administration. Because the Obama administration, the last 8 years, we've had a president that's refused to call this radical Islam. We're looking at global terrorism. We're looking at ISIS. We see it every night on the news. No matter what news channel you're watching, you're seeing these horrible atrocities. And they're saying that it's in the name of Islam. But because of the last 8 years, we have the Obama administration, their pundits, people like Karen, Southern Poverty Law Center, who are saying it's not Islam, and then calling out the people that are just trying to have an honest conversation about it. And because of that, we have no idea. We've been shut up completely. And now we need to figure out what's going on. And that's exactly what the president said that they're doing with this temporary ban, is to look at the vetting system and to try to understand what's going on, because now we're in a society where we're not even allowed to talk about it.
Well, and of course, what progressives do, and even which was surprising, Jennifer, I mean, you're the attorney. If you were before the court and the court started going outside the boundaries of the requested document, I would think that you would clearly object to their opinionating, an order like this, because it's pretty clear cut, isn't it?
It is. is. I mean, there are some provisions, and I have to say this from a legal perspective, there are some provisions that aren't as clear-cut or might seem to contradict each other. You know, I've read the order many times, and that's what the Ninth Circuit decision came down to. I've actually been listening to the oral arguments over and over on what happened, and there are a couple things that I saw. One, Judge Robart, who was a Bush appointee in the Ninth Circuit, he was really focused on the Equal Protection Clause. That's the clause that talks about those who already have green cards, already issued visas, and weren't being allowed back in. And so it's this Equal Protection Clause that they're looking at, you know, equal protection under the laws for all people who have already been issued that status. He didn't really see the point in people who haven't come to America yet doing that. And so it wasn't about the whole order that he was looking at, but mostly about those one thing, those parts. But the real thing that I saw was that the Justice Department, Trump's Justice Department, just wasn't ready for these arguments. They weren't ready to answer these questions. And regardless of their personal opinions, they have to get the laws straight to support Trump's order. Again, though, even in the Ninth Circuit and some of these other courts, this isn't a permanent thing. This is temporary. And the president has said that that's to look at, you know, what is it that we need to change? What is it that we need to do? Because, again, for the last 8 years, we've been completely silenced and unable to look at the truth, the facts of some of the greatest threats to our national security.
Well, the majority of Americans agree with the president. But what is the learning opportunity for the president in this process here right now, considering the Justice Department was where it's at? I mean, he doesn't have his full complement in play yet. I mean, he does now, but he didn't last week. And I say full complement. I mean, he's definitely further, you know, further down the road. He's got his attorney general now, where last Friday he didn't. You know, so there were some missing elements, I believe, in this argument. And, and you have, I think, the personality of a chief executive officer who's very eager. I mean, the voters gave him the job, and he's very eager to prove himself and prove the voters right.
And to be honest, you know, I've been in the Middle East, as you know, for the last month.
Right.
I was there when the ban came down, and these people have no problem. These are mostly Muslims that have no problem saying we need to vet radical Islam. That's what we're doing to keep our own selves safe. And so he has to do that. And I appreciate what the president's doing. And that's not his job to know every single fact. You're exactly right. We need to make sure that when he passes down these orders, he has the people in place that will give him the facts, give him the law, so that when he goes on to talk about it, he is firm in his opinions, allows the judiciary to do their job, but then has the Justice Department to back him up on the legalities and to make sure that he can be the president that we all want and hope that he will be for us.
Well, the justice that you referred to, who started the ball rolling and gave it some credence here and was turned over to the Ninth Court, the point that he brought up about the green cards, I thought that was pretty well satisfied, because what happened is they did move to rectify that, and those that were traveling with green cards that were already approved, to me, a minor inconvenience compared to the potential threat of what could be coming alongside with them. So they got caught in the net, but they were released, I think, as quickly as possible. I mean, it didn't happen within minutes, but it took several hours. But eventually that stuff was cleared up. And when I say eventually, I mean, it wasn't by the same token, it wasn't weeks later either. So I thought that, the government moved to to make this adjustment and to relieve that particular situation. So it's a lot of foul crying after the fact with, some minor inconvenience. And then, of course, the left cannot help themselves, so they start throwing these false anecdotal stories that, supposedly one gentleman said his mom died in the process, and then they find out later that was an absolute lie. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that goes along, and it's all part and parcel of, this argument that goes out there. But it's like, wait a minute, you're missing the point. This is all about national safety. I mean, all these other things are anecdotal. They need to be considered that way and taken within a, taken with a little bit of, calming medicine, not get so reactive and make up stuff. And then you find out, oh, my goodness, I went down this dark hole because I believe this guy, and it was one big fat lie.
And the Middle Easterners that want to come here, they want to come to a safe United States, and most of them are going to be totally fine with this and this little inconvenience. Even some of the ones that I talk to, we'd rather come to a safe America where truth is being spoken about the threats than to one where everyone's turning a blind eye.
Well, coming up, we have a Muslim woman who says, look, it, we support the ban, you know, to your point. And we're going to be talking to her a little bit later this morning. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. Jennifer Brayton was with us. We'll talk with her more. And, you know, stay with us right here just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you, too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi there, Dick Allgaier here. I was a mainstream television news reporter for over three decades. I normally never do commercial endorsements. I am very skeptical of health supplements, but a friend of mine told me about his experience with Synergy One, so I purchased a bottle, and my wife and I have been using it for a few weeks now. I very much dislike so-called energy boosters, those little energy drinks that have caffeine and guarana and other things that make your heart race. This is not that. My experience with Synergy One has been great. My mood is better. My joints feel better. I have more vigor, more stamina, way increased productivity. My wife and I both notice that we even dream more. So I recommend Synergy One. It's really good stuff. I'm having great results with it.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Did you know there's a new group of water contaminants with unknown health effects? These emerging contaminants lurking in your water may include prescription, over-the-counter drugs, and new types of herbicides and pesticides. ProPure's improved Pro-1 G2.0 filter meets NSF 401 standards to help reduce these emerging contaminants. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just $1 a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-340-5528. That's 800-340-5528. Again, 800-340-5528.
Lifetime Graze 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com or find us on Facebook.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you needn't worry. I trust your taste implicitly. Thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, just wait, like me, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back. This is about 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Jennifer Breeden continues with us, legal analyst human rights attorney concentrating on religious extreme ideology and domestic and international law with the Clarion Project. Jennifer, I know you just got back from the Middle East last year, had a chance to visit Israel, also in Ireland. And, you know, it was quite interesting because this was all before the election. People extremely curious, but yet rather insightful about Donald Trump, and maybe you could call it the pre-Brexit move. Well, when I was in Ireland, it was post-Brexit. But they liked the ideas that Donald Trump were coming out. Yeah, a little gruff, you know, they would admit. Although some, I got to tell you, some there in the bar in Ireland that I was in, it wasn't gruff enough. You know? but nonetheless, it was like, okay, let's get this thing, you know, squared away. And, you know, and I think that really bears the sentiment of many people here in the United States, is that how long can you live with this insanity? How come common sense cannot reign? I mean, you have threats, and it's not like you're particularly choosing. I think they were careful to not make this a Muslim ban, though I think it's unfair and misrepresentative by some in the media to, you know, present it that way. Because if that was the case, then it would be specifically a Muslim ban. It was specifically about these unraveling and unraveled nations that they can't count on. You know, as we were talking with somebody yesterday, one of the first things that ISIS did when they went into Syria is they took over the machinery and the mechanism that prints up their visas. So they have control of it. So why would any country want to trust anything that came from, you know, from Syria right now?
Exactly. And I think that's one of the major problems, is that countries are okay with Trump. I mean, my goodness, I was in the Middle East. You were traveling as well. Mm-hmm. I talked to Muslims in the Middle East who were so excited by Trump. In fact, I was in Kurdistan, you know, the northeastern region in Iraq. Mm-hmm. Unfortunate that they're still considered Iraqi citizens because they don't have a state. But I'm in Kurdistan region. These people were up until 5 a.m. at bars watching the election that night, cheering for Trump, wanting him to win.
Wow.
Because they want people, they're desperate for truth.
Exactly. Well, don't you find it ironic that you have more freedom to exercise your political conversation in the Middle East than you do here in the United States?
Phil, that's exactly what I've been saying. I mean, my goodness, I was in Saudi Arabia. I felt more free to talk about oppressive Islamist regimes and, you know, what needs to change. I felt more safe and free to talk about radical Islam ideologies with Muslims in the Middle East than I do in the United States of America.
Unbelievable. And so here it is, even the Muslims are seeing this. And I, what I'm seeing, Jennifer, and I hope that we're not being fooled, because there are some, you know, some Muslims that are warning, you know, because of, you know, past habits and justifications, you know, the practice of taqiyya, where, you know, the ends justify all the means, and the misrepresentation of Muslims in the past and that sort of thing. But you're seeing more and more Muslims, you know, finally saying enough of this stuff. We're about peace. We want to be a religion that's identified with peace. We're being misrepresented. Our religion is being hijacked. Mm-hmm. And they're starting to band together. And, you know, I think these are the people, whether it's Muslim, whatever faith that you practice, that you come to the United States not to do it harm, but to advance the cause of peace and democracy. And, you know, as many Muslims say, they say, you know, in much the same contrast as we just talked about being able to speak freely about politics in the Middle East more than you can in the West, they say they're actually more freer to practice their religion in the United States than they are back in the Middle East. Boy, I'll tell you, what an upside down world we live in, huh?
Absolutely. It is. And it's sad. You know, it's sad when I realize, like, oh, man, I have to go back to the U.S. where I have to start being careful about everything again. And I refuse to do that because I really enjoy the conversations I have. I learned a lot from these people. And in terms of, you know, the concept of taqiyya and this other stuff, I'm sure your next guest will be able to talk more on that. You know, that wasn't really Quranic. Most of them didn't even know what the term was until it started coming out with, you know, with ISIS and Al-Qaeda and some of these other groups. Most of them hadn't even heard of this concept. But you can really see it. And I think, you know, once you have a face-to-face conversation with a Muslim, you can see, you just hear it. You hear the anger in their voice from this and the need to change some of this stuff. The Kurds, for example, want no part of theocracy or no part of Islam in their government. They want totally secular government, rights for all religious people, because they, of all people, have seen what religion, what Islam in government does to people and how it oppresses them, and they refuse to have that if they're ever given a state. And so I think there's something to be said for that, you know, even in any concept of Sakia, for lack of a better word, you know, they wouldn't go so far as to that. It's only to be used to advance, you know, causes of a global caliphate. So those that don't want that or don't see any reason for that, you know, aren't going to talk about that.
Well, Jennifer, you bring up an excellent point relevant to communication. This is what's happening, sadly, in our institutions where, you know, you could be free to speech now, free to speak, you know, today in these institutions that advanced thought, that were the vanguard of advancing thought, have now been stifled all in the name of microaggression and safe places and this sort of thing. You know, it's a sad commentary. And, you know, in many ways, because you know, it's been said for a long time, particularly relevant to the educational system, that our kids are being dumbed down. But in a lot of ways, I mean, hopefully you're just, you know, hopefully the kids will wake up and see, look, they don't need to be co-conspirators with this movement, do they?
No, they don't. And it's harming people. It's harming organizations. You know, I've been getting reports, even to Clarion Project, our organization, reports of, because of these Southern Poverty designations and CARE and Jewish Voice for Peace and these other organizations that prop themselves up as peace, they're protesting even addresses, trying to shut us down, trying to shut other addresses down so these organizations can't even get, you know, donations as nonprofits and educational institutions. I mean, it's going beyond calling them names, calling people like us hate groups or extremists. It's going beyond that now to actually wanting to shut them down, shut up the voices of freedom, truth, and education in the United States. And it is scary to see what's happening. It's sad. And when I tried to explain it to some of the Muslims in the Middle East, what was happening here because of our work, and they knew our work, truthfully, fully,
right,
they were almost confused. They would look at me like, why is that? How is that happening? You know, isn't America free? And I didn't know what to tell them.
Well, sometimes, as my old mentor used to say to me, Jennifer, we can be so open-minded that our brains fall out. And you might question and see people a little bit differently with, you know, some of us with our brains, you know, just hanging out there for a little bit. And it's time. It's time to reconnect and make some sense out of this. And I believe that this is what Donald Trump is doing to this country. It's now allowing people to rethink some of these positions and go, wow, yeah, I've been influenced. I've fallen victim to this, and I become complicit, and that's not my intent. And we need to keep our eye and focused on what really matters. I want to refocus a bit on Iran right now, and what you are seeing and what you saw there in the Middle East with Iran. I mean, they're beating their chests. They're, you know, I almost see them, Jennifer, as backing themselves in a corner here.
Mm-hmm. They absolutely are. And I think more than that, it's backing themselves in a corner, but almost doing so by tempting and taunting Trump. Mm-hmm. They want to see what's going to happen here. And what I try to do, and what I especially did over there, I start to differentiate between the Iranian people and the Iranian regime. This regime is awful. They have so many political prisoners. I can't tell you, I can count on more than two hands, more than three hands, the amount of political prisoners in Iran just for talking against the Ayatollah or the regime, that have gone to Evin prison, have been in solitary confinement just for speaking out for freedom. And so it's an awful regime. But what they're trying to do right now is call President Trump's bluff. That's exactly what they're doing. You know, we had another missile launch just today, and they're continuing to do that, knowing what he's saying. But they're also banking on the fact that Trump won't do anything to upset Putin of Russia, because that's Iran's strongest ally in the region. They're saying, well, Russia's our ally. We have a military defense pact with Russia. And so let's see what Trump actually does, how far we can get away with it.
And, of course, here in America, you mentioned Putin and Donald Trump in the same sentence, and everybody's all worried because, you know, you have our leader, our president, saying, hey, look, he wants to meet with Putin. But yet, you know, previously when Barack Obama mentioned that he was willing to meet with any leader without any kind of pre-consideration or precondition, that was okay. But, you know, with Trump, it's not okay. We got about 15 seconds here, Jennifer. Yeah.
Well, let's just hope that Trump's up to it.
Exactly. Jennifer Breeden, legal analyst, human rights attorney, concentrating on religious extremist ideology with the Clarion Project. Jennifer, welcome back home. Good to have you back with us. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 29 minutes after the top of the hour.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now, 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No. ICOMP Geeks on site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks on site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks on site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks on Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here.
I love the way you hold me, by my side you'll always be. You take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love the way you hold me, in your arms will always be. You take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love you more than the words in my brain can express. I can't imagine even love you less, Lord. I love the way you hold me.
Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, just the way you like me, fresh every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. You're on the Hawaiian Islands, like my daughter. You know, there's 2-hour time difference, and it's, what would that make it? 4 to 7 in the morning on the Hawaiian Islands. So good to have you along with us. Israel Ortega is with us right now, senior writer for the conservative political news site Opportunity Lives. He has years of experience working in both the public and private sector, possessing a thorough understanding of a variety of public policy issues, including, but not limited to, immigration, education, political analysis, Latin American. He was a Capitol Hill staffer for 5 years, but he's since gone to therapy, and he says he's all ready to go. His head's all straightened out, right?
That's right, Bill. Yeah.
I'm just teasing. Come on. No, really. Hey, you know, like us, I guess we're you know, the majority. We're part of the majority of them. We're working today. There's some people that got the day off today because I guess Super Bowl Sunday is such a big thing that some businesses said, hey, just take the day off, you know. But
wow.
And I got to imagine Atlanta, the people need the day off in order to, you know, speaking of therapy, they're probably in therapy wondering, what happened?
Yeah. What a game. Good to talk to you, Bill. Thanks, as always, for the invitation.
Hey, good to have you here. I want to talk about what you identify as Trump's protectionism. You're saying it's going to cause more illegal immigration. Break that down and how you see this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Well, I think it just goes to the broader point, Bill, that, you know, if we really want to tackle immigration, illegal immigration, that is, we got to look at what's happening in a lot of parts of Latin America, which is that, you know, folks come leave their countries because of corruption, because of really a failed free market system. Mm-hmm. And so that's why people are leaving, you know, and for a long time, people were leaving Mexico because of that. But, you know, recently, Mexico has actually embraced a lot of the free market, has been for trade, open commerce with other countries, and that actually has had a positive impact in terms of reducing poverty rates in Mexico and creating more opportunities in Mexico. And so I'm just a little concerned, Bill, that if we start a trade war with Mexico, that could actually cause Mexico's problems to become worse than they are. And I think mm-hmm. that's the point, I think, that I'd like the president to just acknowledge.
Right. Well, you know, Mexico certainly, you know, it has got its issues, no doubt about it. And they've come a long way in terms of addressing, you know, the corruption. But that big 800,000-pound gorilla lies on their border, which is the drug cartels, is.
Right.
And this is very dangerous. And I think this is where they need help, just like Chicago needs help, mm-hmm. which President Trump. And we're talking about this earlier, just a moment ago, with Horace Cooper. And that is that sometimes, you know, Donald Trump, because he lives in the world of hyperbole and headlines, he loves these, you know, extreme kind of things and words and big, bold type and everything. And, you know, when you're making a deal and negotiating a deal, you stay in the arena of the extreme, because then when you negotiate something and it's less than the extreme, you feel like you got a deal, you know, so to speak.
Yeah.
But what happens is that, you know, it's almost like the nation needs an R2-D2. We need an interpreter. We need a Trump interpreter to kind of understand what's going on, because, you know, the country is in shock as you go from, you know, the political process. And as you know, being a staffer for 5 years, you have a language and a rhythm that goes that not only goes for the Beltway, but it goes for the people who interpret the Beltway. Now you bring an outsider in, and it's what did he say?
Is
that fair?
I mean, that's and that's part of what we're doing here, you know, and the Beltway pundits, you know. But I think, Bill, I think the point here is, look, I don't think the president is wrong to say we've got to crack down on illegal immigration. I'm all for that. I would just like to have the president acknowledge that a lot of the undocumented folks are coming here are overstaying their visa. So a border wall, the effectiveness of a border wall is something that I'm concerned about. And then secondly, I like to see concurrently, you know, we crack down on illegal immigration, but we also come up with a way to have folks who want to come here for this country legally. That could be a guest worker program for a few years for folks, and maybe something different. But I think that's something that I think is important for us to just remember and to hopefully have as a conversation.
As you and I know, the thing, and this is what I think is being ignored in the conversation, and that is that we need to protect immigrants. You know, when they come into the country and they're undocumented, I mean, the stories, you see, we're not hearing a whole lot about the abuse that goes on. And there's abuse on all levels. You know, sadly, you've got businesses taking advantage of people, underpaying them. You have crime that takes place. And an immigrant who is here illegally is not going to pick up 911 right away.
Right.
And all this stuff comes into play. We're just not protecting, and we're exacerbating the problem of immigrants coming into this country when we keep them in the shadows, right?
Right, exactly. And I think that the operative word for me that you just said, Bill, is exacerbating. And I think that's my concern, is if we continue creating a system or having a system where we reward folks who came here the wrong way, then you're just going to encourage more of that. And I think that was the most concerning part of President Obama's immigration policy, is that, you know, you basically encourage people to come here the wrong way, dangerously. And so I think hopefully Trump will get the mechanics of this right. Let's crack down illegal immigration, but also have a way for folks to come here legally and come here through the front door instead of come in the back door, as they have been for a long time.
Well, is, you know, the way you speak of it and the way you and I are talking about it, to me, that this is reasonable. But you have a situation where you got a state senator in California, happen to be on the West Coast right now. I was reading a story about this one state senator, De Leon, and he says half of his family are undocumented that are here in America. And you go, whoa, I mean, really? Come on.
Yeah.
You know, what are you doing? What are you doing to them? And this whole deal, you are a state senator and you make you know, you make this statement, but see, this is the idea. It's become so casual, and we violate the law, and it's meaningless. And so now they cry foul when somebody comes in and says, don't we have a law against this?
No, actually, absolutely right. Actually, I've had a chance to listen to that state senator speak before, and I know his views are very, very progressive on a lot of things. But no, I mean, I think you're right. I think that's at the heart of what's going on, Bill, is the fact that we are becoming more of a lawless society. You know, we're simply not enforcing a lot of laws that are on the books, and so I'm all for again crafting changes to existing immigration law, figuring out a way to do this the right way. But until then, we've got to enforce existing immigration laws. I mean, rule of law is the cornerstone of any society that is prosperous and fair and free. And to undermine that, I think, is very, very concerning.
Yeah, I agree with you, Iz. And I think part of the challenge that we have to face here in America is that when you've been without the rule of law for as long as we have, I mean, we got here, you know, like that frog in the boiling water. It was also gentle. But the fact of the matter is that we've got to correct this problem. So the difference from where we are right now, where we need to be in promoting the rule of law, where it is truly a win-win proposition, is going to be pain. There's pain for the immigrants ahead.
Yeah.
For the citizens, for us trying to process, wait a minute, you know, are we going to tear families apart? You know, this whole situation of anchor babies, all this stuff, you know, that has been problematic, that has been created by politicians, you know, for their political interest, not for the interest of the immigrant or the citizens, clearly.
Right.
This is what makes for bad policy.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. And I love to study this article that I just wrote recently, Bill, because I look at the immigration lobby and actually had a chance to interview a dreamer, and she told me that she's a little concerned about some of the tactics that some of these immigration rights groups are using, where they're disrupting congressional hearings or getting in the face of members of Congress. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what she's saying is, look, a better approach is to actually dialogue with some of these members of Congress, talk to the senators, not getting these shouting matches. And so I thought it was a fascinating tape because I think it goes to your point about how do we ensure that we come up with a system that works for the immigrants, but also for the American people.
Well, get that to me, and we'll post it on our website as well, because it's of interest for a lot of people. We continue to have this discussion, and part of the reason that we're going round in circles to your very point and to her point is that we're not having a sit-down, reasonable conversation. We're shouting at one another. We're not communicating, and therein lies the challenge, but also the opportunity where we could settle this. Could you imagine this gets settled? I mean, both countries, everybody. I mean, we're just talking Mexico right now, but all countries could win.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
Call today.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website, powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Taking turmeric is good, but there's a problem with it. The active ingredient in turmeric, known as curcumin, is poorly absorbed into the cells due to its large particle size. But now, One Planet Nutrition has the answer for this powerful anti-inflammatory. Nanocurcumin, a nanoparticle curcumin which absorbs over 40 times better into your bloodstream. Discover more health benefits of nanocurcumin and nanocurcumin plus, now on sale at OnePlanetNutrition.com. Use promo code GCN for your special discount at OnePlanetNutrition.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
This is Holly Thomas, Group Vice President of Cause Marketing for Macy's. Our company is working together with the March of Dimes through March for Babies to raise money and awareness about the serious problem of premature birth in the U.S. That's why Macy's is committed to raising funds through our employees, customers, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies everywhere. Won't you please join us in March for Babies? Start a team today at marchforbabies.org.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you needn't worry. I trust your taste in specifics. Thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
And let me assure you, America's Obamacare nightmare is about to end. You know, despite the best efforts of liberal activists at town halls around the country, the American people know better. Obamacare has failed, and Obamacare must go. This failed law is crippling the American economy and crushing the American people. Talk about your fake news, folks. Just look at all the promises liberals made about Obamacare. Remember, they told us the cost of insurance would go down. They told us if you like your doctor, you can keep him. They told us if you like your health plan, you can keep it. And now we all know the truth. Today, Americans are paying $3,000 more a year on average for their health insurance. Last year, premiums skyrocketed by a stunning 25%. Millions have lost their plans and lost their doctors. Higher costs, fewer choices, worse care. That's Obamacare. And if that weren't bad enough, Obamacare is also a job killer, and everybody in America knows it. Well, we're about to change all that by repealing Obamacare once and for all, eliminating its mandates, its taxes, and its intrusion into your business and into your lives. And best of all, with President Trump's leadership, Obamacare is going to be replaced with something that actually works. Something that's built on freedom and individual responsibility. President Trump and I want every American to have access to quality and affordable health insurance, which is why we're designing a better law that lowers the cost of health insurance without growing the size of government. We're going to let Americans purchase health insurance across state lines, the way you buy your life insurance, the way you buy your car insurance. We're going to make sure that Americans with pre-existing conditions have access to health insurance and the security they need. And we're going to give states the freedom and flexibility to take care of the least fortunate in the best way that will work in their state and in their community.
I got to tell you, I hope that conservatives and the Republican Party were listening real close to what Vice President Pence outlined last night at CPAC. This is the basic bones in terms of healthcare, world-class healthcare, for a nation, for a world-class nation that's deserving of health care, delivered health care to we the people. And, you know, I think he's so right on. And in terms of the talking points and what needs to be out there consistently going against this movement, you know, come on, look at the Democrats know they own the mess of Obamacare. The best thing that happened to the Democrats in this particular issue is the Republicans are the majority party. Now, they're the ones to fix up the mess. And, of course, as all the pundits and everybody are trying to say, is that, you know, let the Republicans have at it because, you know, they break it, they own it. I mean, come on, look at this is silly politics. I mean, we got people's lives that are at risk here. We got people who are missing out on health care. I mean, look at all the stories. I mean, you talk about the, you know, people being concerned about repealing Obamacare. What about these people that are going to lose their health care? What about all the people that lost their health care when Obamacare came into play and it was all for what? Supposedly this donut hole group of people, about 30 million people. And to this day, even in my conversations with Betsy McCoy, who I think is one of the preeminent experts on health care, she has been following this from day one. She's been on with us many times, so she can't even figure out the number. And everyone I talk to that you think would know what the number is, in other words, you see a problem. You say, this way my brain works. I see a problem, we come up with solutions, and then you come back and review it, and you say, hey, how are we doing? Are we progressing on that problem? We're starting to get our arms around it. We're doing okay? No, it doesn't work that way in D.C. They see a problem, and that gives them, they go, oh, we got a problem. That means money. Let's throw money at this stuff. And now you got government waste and you got the typical bureaucracy that messes this thing up. And no wonder we're $20 trillion in debt. We have needs like infrastructure. Military needs to be fixed up. A border wall. All these things that are in play. And, oh, yes, we've got refugees and immigrants here that are taking advantage as well. And, of course, our hearts are such, the American people's hearts are such as, look at, we are, no question, a nation of immigrants. Do we feel for the refugees? Do we feel for immigrants? Without a doubt. But what we've done is worked hard to create a country, so what they come in, they see that shining light, that there's veracity, there is substance to that shining light, that it's not, as some would say, you know, just a train coming at them. But it does represent hope. But the problem is, and what's happening, and some people might say, well, good, that's okay. As people are saying, hey, I'm getting out of here. It's not all it made up to be. You know, they even are trying to get into Canada. And what's happening up in Canada is, you know, Canada's going, oh, no, you're not coming in here. And we're sending you back to America because, and this is how goofy this thing is, the way any of this immigration and refugee complex works is that it doesn't necessarily mean they go back to their country of origin. It goes back to their country, back to the country they were last at. So in many cases, they were in the United States. They go back to the United States. The United States says, well, hey, we don't want you. We want to send you back to Mexico or Central America or send you back to Europe. And, of course, the Mexicans are saying, President Nieto going, hey, we don't want them, hombres. You know, we don't want them over here. You know, they're not going to add to our day necessarily. I mean, this is all so crazy stuff, but we had to sit down and reason this thing together because I know when it's just Donald Trump and President Nieto talking, they see the problem, and they got to handle this deal. Trump could care less about the politics. That's what we love about Donald Trump. He's not owned by K Street. He's not owned by the powers of D.C. that are pulling the levers. He doesn't need them. Got along without him before he met him. Going to get along without him now. You know, and thank God for that. And that's what gives us the opportunity, as Michael Pence was pointing out last night, our vice president, so articulately, that this is a time for we the people. This is a time for conservatives, whether you're Republican, even Democrat for that matter. Yes, it was a populist speech, but I think it's a populist speech that's been a long time coming. And, of course, President Trump is at CPAC, and he electrified the crowd as well with the core message and the core gospel of conservatism. And who would have thought? I mean, Donald Trump's not a conservative. In fact, we were talking earlier with Megan Barth, you know, about Phyllis Schlafly. She got on board with Donald Trump. And I got to tell you, when Phyllis, and I respected Phyllis so much, when she told me that she was supporting Donald Trump, I go, whoa, there's something there. And even Michael Flynn, you know, say whatever you want to say about Michael Flynn and, you know, what happened to him. But I respect Michael Flynn. When Michael Flynn said when he met with Donald Trump, looked in his eyes and wanted to know he's the real deal, because that was my question. Are you the real deal? Is this just a game for you? I mean, or are you really here to do something? And Donald Trump looked him in his eyes and said, yeah, I'm for real. I'm willing to put it all in the line. And what has the guy done? I mean, it hasn't been 50 days, ladies and gentlemen. And he is turning the Beltway upside down. But you're not going to hear it from the Beltway. You're not going to hear it from the mainstream media. All you're going to hear is all this negative stuff that's going on. But let me tell you, there is an eruption taking place in D.C. As we said, there is this tectonic shift of layers within the establishment, within the elites, within all these ivory towers and agencies that have had their way with our government at our expense. And as Bob Dylan sang, the times, they are changing. And right now, as Mike Pence said, it's our time. It's a time to get this country back on track, anchored in moral principles, however way you want to hold to that. I mean, those of us of faith and Christians believe that those moral principles come from the Bible. And I make no apology about it offending you, because the Word of God will offend you. There's no doubt you will be offended by the Word of God, because it stands in contrast to our fleshly and earthly desires that want to have it our way. And the thing that God has impressed on me, particularly this week, is, again, what Jesus said. It's not about being served. It's about serving. And when you really look deep into what that means, it can't be about you. But it's most amazing when you do that. And I believe Donald Trump's getting a bit of a taste of this in serving. I mean, he's not even taking a paycheck, okay? He walked away from billions of dollars working with his kids and his family. Probably something he loved to do every day. Walk down the hallway, hug his daughter, high-five the boys, talk to them about new opportunities and stuff like that. I mean, you tell me what dad in America wouldn't want that. That's a dream job. And he put that on hold and walked away from it. For us, you know, for this country, for the things that we believed in, for the things that has blessed him and his family over the years. He set it all aside to take up the mantle on our behalf and to go on and take on the elites, take on the media, call them to account. And if these people will listen and adjust, oh, man, I'm telling you. America, you talk about being great again. We'll be greater than we ever will be. United, coming together for a common cause, a cause that's outside of ourselves. A cause that truly is for the forgotten men and women, not only in the United States. And I know you might see this as a little bit of globalism, but we are, in a sense. I mean, we know that that we are connected with all of humanity around the world. But there's also boundaries, and reasonable boundaries that can be maintained and still not compromise what it is that brought us to the dance and what makes America great and what will make America greater yet. Hey, thank you so much for being with us. That wraps it up for Bill Martinez. We will see you next week right here on the SDG Radio Network.
Investors, 2017 is the year of Trump, and financial markets are rising at all-time highs. But economic uncertainty may be greater than after any election in our lifetime. And as retirement approaches, there's little time to recover your losses. You need to hedge against uncertainty. That means transferring part of your retirement to physical gold and silver stored where you can actually hold it in your hand and get it fast in any disaster. It's a perfect time to buy. Prices are low and expected to climb. Make Augusta Precious Metals your personal gold and silver provider. Augusta cares for your financial position and helps you make good decisions. And they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get Augusta's free gold and silver IRA guide. What you learn could help you weather any economic storm. There's no obligation. Just call toll-free. Call 855-222-5857. That's 855-222-5857. Again, 855-222-5857. Trust Augusta. Protect your retirement today.
Are you retired or facing retirement in your